Good morning and greetings in Jesus' name. It's a blessing to be here. Missing last Sunday, seems like it's been a long time. Missing brothers meeting, and I'm thankful to be here. I tell the grandchildren sometimes when they're sick that they can look, one positive thing is they can look forward to getting better. And when you're not sick, you always have the possibility of getting sick. And so thinking about, I'm thankful that I'm better and feel much better. And thankful for that. I appreciated the singing this morning and thinking of that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I asked you this question, is Jesus your friend? You know, he wants to be. And, you know, we sing these songs and I trust that he is your friend. We have friends. Most of us have friends and we value friends. Friends are important in our life. But the most important friend that we can have is Jesus. And I desire him to be my friend, and I hope you desire him to be your friend. And Jesus is our friend, but he wants a two-way relationship, and that we have that relationship. Well, I have a very simple message this morning, a practical message from Matthew chapter 6. And I want to keep it practical. I want to keep it simple. It's really not complicated. The message title is Religious Hypocrisy. We get that from Matthew chapter 6, a number of verses there. You can open your Bibles. But it's a very sobering subject to think about hypocrisy, because hypocrisy can be so deceptive. It deceives others, but it also deceives ourselves. And we live in a world where there's a lot of play actors. Actually, in Hollywood, there's a lot of people make a lot of money being play actors. They actually are pretenders. They actually act things out that actually are not real. I don't quite understand how they do it, but they get awards, Academy Awards, where that's the highest reward that you can get in the world for being a play actor. But I want to tell you this morning, I wish I could say that only play actors are in Hollywood. As we read the Bible, we discover that there's some of the greatest play actors are actually in the churches. And I just plead with you this morning to open our hearts. Like Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, try me and know me, see if there's any wicked way in me. And that's what my desire is this morning. As I prepared this sermon, I searched my own heart, spent time in prayer and asking God, you know, am I really being real? Are we really being real in our Christian walk, or do we have some hypocrisy where we pretend to be something that we're not? It's so native to our nature to put on fronts, to act like we're something that actually is not inside. I mean, you don't understand what I'm talking about? Do you realize it? And I'm just being honest. Sometimes we put on these fronts, and I just want to be open. Artificial religious activity is not healthy. It deceives the actor itself. People start feeling good about their religious activities. They feel good about going to church. They feel good about the worship service and so on. But actually, it's really not from inside. It's artificial. So as we read this scripture, there's a couple of things I want you to think about. In verse 2, it says, they have their reward. And then in verse 5, it says it again. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. And then over in verse 16, it says, again, they have their reward. Now, if you do a little bit of study on that phrase, you discover that it means paid in full. So I want you to, as we go through this sermon, I want you to understand that we cannot have both. We cannot have heaven's reward and God's reward and an earth reward. Sometimes we think that somehow we can have this earthly reward and also get God's reward. It's actually the reverse. We get heaven's reward, and then if God rewards us on earth life, he can, and he does. But this phrase here, he says, therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues, and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. They're paid in full. They're not getting a reward from heaven. So the hypocrites get paid in full on earth life, and they don't get a further reward. I want you to remember that. And then the other phrase is that you find that in verse 4 and in a few other verses, and the Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. Now, I kind of touch on that a little bit, maybe towards the end of the sermon, but I want you to think about those two phrases. They have their reward, or a heavenly reward from a heavenly Father that's open. So I want to read this. I want to read verses 1 through 8, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 16 and go to 18. And I'm not going to talk about the Lord's Prayer. In a future message, I want to talk about prayer and fasting. So this morning, we're going to focus more on the aspect of hypocrisy and what he brings out here. Remember Jesus was teaching this message on the Sermon on the Mount, we call. And so we want to focus on that aspect. So I want to read these verses. Verse 1, he says, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, that thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." Jumping down to verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And I will stop there. So it's just, yeah, very sobering, just practical teaching. And God desires to reward us. God desires to give you a reward as you do life. And I think, like I mentioned earlier, we'll talk about that a little later, but I think when we think about rewards, there's a reward that we receive as we do earth life. But we also look forward to a heavenly reward. That's the ultimate reward, the riches of glory that God has prepared for his people. So I want to talk about the first aspect here is the hypocrisy in almsgiving, or we could call it donations. And so what is almsgiving? Like, what do you think of when you think of almsgiving? Like, we had an offering this morning, and it was for, ministerial aid. Is that almsgiving? Probably not. I would suggest that I believe that as I studied here, that I think almsgiving has to do with giving to the poor, giving to the needy people. I don't think anybody here in the ministerial team are really poor. I think we have our needs met. But I think Jesus is talking about here that we're liberal with our giving to the needs of mankind. And I wrote down here that I don't think our school offerings come under that category. I think school offerings and like ministerial aid would be more of a love gift to the ministry. God bless you. Thank you for that gift. But I think this is talking about God, us being willing to help people that have needs, true needs, poor people. And they're everywhere. I mean, you look at Christian Aid, I get their newsletter, and I look at the needs, and I look at the devastation of war-torn countries. I see children that don't have food, mothers that hardly have food to give their children, and they hold their child, and the child is starving. And I think that's what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about giving to people and looking and sharing the poor and needy, people that have a hard time meeting their needs. And what the Pharisees would do is in those days that the lepers and the poor people were roaming the streets, or they were sitting at the gate of the temple, and they were beggars. They would call them beggars. And the Pharisees would have some way of making a noise. Maybe they would blow their trumpet or make some kind of tingling noise, and these poor people would come running, and then they would give their money to these people. And it was for the praise of men. People would say, wow, they're really helping out the poor people. And Jesus is telling us that we need to look for ways to help poor and needy people without anybody knowing it. We don't need to have everybody know and see. And he talks about, let not your left hand know what your right hand giveth. And I often wonder what that means. And I don't know, I'm just going to maybe illustrate this a little bit. I know it's more than this, but so I'm right-handed, so maybe we could reverse this, what it says, the left hand. But if I pull this money out of here, I don't know what this is. I don't know how much this is. I have to use my right hand to count it. So I go $1, $2, $3, $4, $5, $6. When I first pulled it out, I didn't know that. And Jesus was just trying to illustrate that when you give, you don't have to always count it all out and know exactly what you give to the poor people. Just be willing to give and share. That's pretty liberal, isn't it? Let not your left hand know what your right hand giveth. When I pull that money out of my wallet, I have no idea how much is in that hand until I count it out. And that's what Jesus is illustrating. And I'm not advocating that we're careless with our giving, but you know what? We don't have to always know exactly what we give. Actually, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth, because I think there's a side of it that we should know what we give in order to know that if we're giving enough. I started taking a little more track because I discovered at the end of the year when I started adding up, you know, what my donations were, and I wasn't satisfied. It wasn't sufficient. Wasn't enough. I thought I was giving more than I was. And so I start keeping track, a little better track, not all the things that I help with other people, poor people that don't go through the offering, but just to get an idea. But it's not because I want everybody to know how much I give. That's what Jesus is talking about. Give freely. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand giveth. And it's the Pharisees wanted the praise of men and the praise of people. And he said, you know what? You're getting that reward. The reward that they got was making those poor people have their needs met. There's a reward in that. You know, if somebody's hungry and doesn't have food and you can go buy them a meal and you see them enjoying that, there's a reward. But if you're doing it to be seen of men, that's the only reward that you're going to get. Heaven no longer has a reward for you. And that's what he's teaching here. And that's what they were doing. And hypocrisy, pretending to give in their almsgiving and in their donations. I had to think of Matthew chapter 25, you know, thinking about the scribes and Pharisees, and Jesus brings it out clear here in Matthew 25. Actually, what he's trying to illustrate, if you go to Matthew 25, verse 34, he says, um, Then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered. I was one of those poor people. I was hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink, and I was a stranger, and ye took me in. This person didn't have a place to stay, and you opened your house up. You gave them a place to sleep there. And then shall the righteous... I missed a verse. Naked and ye clothed me, and I was sick and ye visited me. I was in prison and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger or took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. These people did not keep track of what they were giving and how they were helping. They didn't have a list of people that they helped this person, and they gave this person a bed to sleep in, or they visited this person. They didn't keep track. They didn't remember. It's amazing the things that we forget. It's amazing. Numerous times in my life, somebody else will come to me and remind me of something that happened 15, 20 years ago. And go, really? I don't remember. I don't remember doing that. And that's what God wants us to do. He don't want us to remember or keep track. He just wants us to be liberal with our giving and care about the needs of other people. One of the culture things that we have in America that I struggle with, and that is benefit auctions. And I know benefit auctions can serve a purpose. I'm not here to say that all benefit auctions are in the red line. But there's some red line things happen at benefit auctions that I don't agree with. And people will buy things and spend way more than worth, pay much more than what that item is worth, because it's going to a good cause and everybody knows it and sees it. And they actually will praise that person for the money that they give by buying that certain item. I'm like, how can that be right? I guess they get a reward for helping Haiti that way. But do they miss a reward in heaven? I want us to think through those things. Wouldn't it be better, like, if I have $1,000 that I feel like I could give to any good cause, and instead of going to an auction and buying something for $1,000 that's worth $100, why not just give that $1,000 and just do it quietly and let it go? Nobody needs to know about it. Is Jesus talking about that? Could it be that Jesus is talking about that? What would Jesus, if Jesus were that Leola auction center when they're doing that, if Jesus were walking through there and he would be watching, you think he'd have a new message to give? I just think we need to be careful. We want the reward from heaven. Like I said, there's rewards that earth life you can get, but I want my reward to come from heaven. Because the earthly rewards are very short-lived. Yeah, you could get your plaque on a hospital somewhere in Hershey with all the different plaques, or in Good Samaritan there, and you have your name there, and you did so many dollars worth of contributions to this organization. You know, those plaques are there. People walk by. You know, that's really short-lived, because I don't even know those people. But the plaque is there. I would rather have this. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, himself shall reward thee openly. Okay, the next point I have is hypocrisy and devotion. That has to do with prayer. These people enjoyed praying in public. They enjoyed praying in the street corners. They had loud prayers. People could hear them. And they knew that they were praying, and they were doing it for to be seen of men. It says, in the street corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they had their reward. Now, Jesus isn't talking about us praying, that praying in public is wrong. But if we're praying to be seen of men, it's wrong. And I had to think of New York for Jesus. The first time I went with New York for Jesus, we stood in the subways and we huddled together and we prayed together. And that was not wrong. We weren't doing it to be seen of men. We were doing it because we were asking for heaven's help, heaven's power and wisdom and protection and grace and strength. But these people were doing it. They had their rituals that they went through at certain times of the day, and they would have their prayers, and they would speak loudly, and they were to be seen of men. One of the secrets of prayer is secret. And I want to ask you, do you know what it is to pray in secret? Do you have a relationship with Christ and with Heavenly Father that you can go to Him and you communicate and you have prayer time together? Prayer as a reality knows that God alone is the audience. You know, we're praying to God. You know, at the end of this service, I intend to have a prayer. I'm not praying to you all. I'm praying to the Heavenly Father. Do we remember that? We're praying to God, not to mankind, and maybe you get to listen. But these people were praying to be seen of men. And it was fake. It was hypocrisy. It wasn't real. And Jesus knew that. There was no connection. There was nobody on the other end of the line. You know, have you ever, you know, there's times that we have their phones and we dial the number and it rings and seems like somebody answers, but there's nobody there. There's nobody there. And you're talking and say, hello, hello, and nobody's there. And after a while, you hang up. Prayer is not that way. Are your prayers, is there somebody at the other line, at the other end of the line? Our Heavenly Father, if your prayer is real, it is. And that's wonderful. Their prayers, there was nobody at the other end of the line. It was fake. False devotion, artificial play acting. Like children play. Sometimes they'll have play phones and they'll pretend they're talking to grandpa or grandma or a friend or something, but there's nobody there. And that's what was going on here. Vain repetitions, eloquent prayers. I don't know if they read their prayers, maybe they memorized them, but they had eloquent prayers. And, you know, God just wants us to be real. I just want to encourage you to be real in your prayer life. Just talk to God as respectfully, honor Him, but be real with who you are. Confess your pride. Confess your selfishness. Confess your lust. Confess your temptations to Him. And be real with Him. That's what He wants. You know, we all want real relationships in our life. You know, there's times that we've maybe met somebody and you felt like the relationship was plastic. You felt like you weren't connecting. They weren't real. There was a lack of connection. Well, that's all that God wants. And I, you know, we don't need to pray in King James language. We can pray in our natural language of flowing, honoring Him, respecting Him as our Heavenly Father. The key is to be real with who you are. Don't pretend that you are something that you're not. It'd be much rather to confess your sins before Him than to pretend that you're not having a sin issue. Why do we pray? We pray to invite God to enjoy a reward of prayer life. You know, sometimes you've heard through the years that God is our co-pilot, and that's absolutely wrong. God is not our co-pilot. God is a pilot. And I want you to think about this a little bit and follow through with me. So say you're in an airplane and you're flying along and you're in a two-seater plane and your pilot is flying your airplane, and after a while he says, you know, would you like to fly the airplane? And you're like, sure, okay, I'll grab a hold of this wheel and we're gonna try and fly this plane. But you really don't know how to fly the plane. So the whole way along this time as you're flying, he's telling you what to do. He's telling pull up, pull down, go sideways, whatever they tell you to do. And he's giving you direction and you're enjoying this. But you're never the pilot. He's just helping you. You never fly the plane. And that's like our Heavenly Father. He wants to help us. We need to ask Him. If I were one of those persons sitting in that plane, I would be asking the pilot, now what should I do here? Like, is this normal? Is this how, what should happen? Asking Him for direction and wisdom. But you know what happens? You know what happens in life? After a while, we're flying this plane often enough that after a while, we get comfortable. And we actually gain experience. We actually can fly this plane. You know what? We don't have to ask the pilot near as many questions. And we get confident. And we can actually do life. And we think we can do it without God, without the pilot, because we have experience. I have seen many persons in life, as they go on in life, they get experience in life, and they get overconfident, and they think that they can do life on their own. They don't need to have prayer. They need to call out on God. They need to ask for wisdom, because we know what we're doing. And after a while, it's not working out so well for them. I want you to know that we never become the pilot of our life. God is always our pilot. We're always asking Him for wisdom. We're always asking Him for direction. We're always asking Him for how do we do this? When shall we do this? What do you want us to do here? Always asking God for wisdom and direction. Never quit that. You know, it's a possibility that prayers can become rituals. It's just a ritual that we do in life. And that's what Jesus is talking about, the hypocrisy of ritual prayer life. You know, God wants us to be spontaneous. There's times in life that we just need to stop everything we're doing and have prayer together. There's times that you need to get together as a company. Maybe you pull your men together and you get together in that little office, that conference room, and you just stop and you have prayer together. That's what God is talking about. That's what Jesus is talking about. Not the ritual prayer life that we have it set out on certain times of the day, certain moments. And that's, we need our times when we pray before we eat and so on. But I'm talking about spontaneous prayer life, that we need God. Prayer is to be real, authentic, to express our emotions. You know, you read Psalms, you have David express his emotions. Sometimes his emotions are not very pretty to read, not very pleasant, are they? Times are pretty crude. But he was just honest with God with how he was feeling and what he was going through. And God came through for him. God helped him. So God wants us to be real in prayer life. Well, so we have hypocrisy in almsgiving, hypocrisy in our devotion. What about hypocrisy and discipline? Talks about fasting. And like I mentioned earlier, we're going to talk about prayer and fasting at a later time. But this fasting has to do with discipline, exercising discipline. And he's saying that these people were just play acting. They were actually good at it. They actually were able to discipline themselves. They were very good at fasting. But they would actually disfigure their faces. And actually what they would do is they would put ashes or mud or something on their faces. And everybody knew that they're fasting. And Jesus is saying it's just much better for you to fast in a quiet way. I don't think it's wrong that if you have a fast that there's something burning on your heart and you and your wife, or maybe there's a few brothers or sisters, and you say, you know what, I have a burden, and can we fast together? Will you join me in a fast? That's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about, look at me, lifting myself up, and look, I'm a disciplined person. I fast, and I do this, and that's what Jesus is talking about. And he says those people had their reward. It's the motive and the purpose that we're talking about. And these people had the wrong motive, the wrong purpose. They didn't get a reward from heaven. Their payment was paid in full. It really was. They didn't have a heavenly reward. Jesus wants his disciples to fast. But these people were doing it for the wrong motives. wrong ambition. You know, it's possible that we can do the right thing with the wrong motives, and that's what it was. And I it's really unfortunate for people to do all these kinds of things, to give and to have prayer and have fasting and have no heavenly reward. And that's what was going on here. But, you know, I think of discipline. The world is full of discipline. You know, what is it? The Olympics maybe were going on, or maybe they still are, I'm not sure. And there, you know, those people are extremely disciplined to enter into those kinds of games and those kinds of sports. And the world has all types of discipline. And I just want you to know that those people have their reward. We're talking about discipline for our spiritual reward, our heavenly reward. Discipline in itself is not bad. And I know that there's all kinds of disciplines that you can do, physical disciplines, maybe exercise and eating disciplines, and they're all good and well for you physically. But I want to challenge you to learn to discipline yourself for heavenly reward, for God's purpose, not just for an earthly reward. There's times that people will say, well, they're doing a fast, and I'll ask them, so is it for spiritual reasons or is it for health benefits? And I'll say, well, for health benefits. And I'm not against that, but that you have that reward. I think Jesus is talking about here is a spiritual discipline in our life that yields heavenly rewards. And it can be eating, it can be work. Maybe you can say, well, you're going to cut back on some time in your work to spend more time in spiritual discipline. Maybe it's discipline in your purchases. Maybe it's discipline in your sleep. Maybe it's teaching yourself to get up earlier, and so you have time to read and to pray and take time for God instead of running off and not having time for God. And then in the evening, you try and have time for God, and you fall asleep, and it actually doesn't work out so well for you. Those are types of things that Jesus is talking about. Disciplining yourself in order for spiritual benefits, not to be seen of men, but for a heavenly reward. I had to think of Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 9. And Paul, I believe, is a very disciplined person. And he says, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul realized that there's a connection between discipline and faithfulness. There is. And he says, I keep my bodily appetites in subjection. They don't control me. They don't run my life. I have them in subjection to the obedience of Christ. And because he realized that if I don't, they could lead me away from God. Jesus is using fasting as a discipline here for spiritual benefits. And like I said, I believe there's other disciplines that we can bring into our life that will yield spiritual dividends, spiritual benefits. Now, just in closing here, thinking about the rewards that Jesus is talking about, when he says that the Heavenly Father sees in secret, himself should reward thee openly. And I like, what is that? Can you name it? I would love to have open discussion here now and tell me what those rewards are, because I think you should be experiencing them. If we're actually living out what Jesus is teaching here, not being a hypocrite, you should know what some heavenly rewards that God is giving you as you live earth life right now. And if you're not receiving those rewards, then I raise some questions. Where you're at with God? Because I believe Jesus is talking about rewards that we get as we live earth life. Now, I can name a number of them. I wrote two down. One of them is that that we become his sons and daughters. And every one of us know that we like to be part of a family, right? We like parents, we like a father, we like mother, we like to have family. And sometimes if somebody doesn't have a family, they become adopted into a family, and they call them their family. I believe that we as Christians need to know that we are the children of heaven. Something's inside my bosom that knows I'm a child of his. Do you know that this morning? I trust that you do. And you, and when you pray that there's a Heavenly Father on the other end of the line. That's a reward. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the world is full of people without that reward. They're lonely, they're devastated, they're taking their own life, they're killing other people. It's terrible what people end up with when they do not have this reward. And you have it in the scribes and Pharisees, what happened to them because they did not have that reward. Now, there's another reward that I came up with, and that is found in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 17. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this is the reward. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us a ministry of reconciliation. That is a reward. The ministry of reconciliation for a Christian, that's huge. Because we can have relationships. Brother Marlon got up this morning and said that we only have one enemy. Right? You said one enemy. Who is that? Satan. The Christian has a ministry of reconciliation. And that means relationships can be restored on this level, on brotherhood, right here. We can have relationships because of us having this reward from heaven. God says, I'll give you the ministry of reconciliation. And that means that we can have reconciliation with our brothers and sisters. And that's wonderful. I love that. I do not feel good when there's a relationship broken down between me and somebody else. If there's a relationship broken down between me and my wife, it hurts. I'm miserable. I do not like that. I want to get that relationship restored. Why? Because that's the gift, the reward that comes from heaven. And when you have life like that, life is wonderful. It doesn't mean you don't have stresses and problems, but he gives us that ministry of reconciliation. And that is a reward, I believe, that Jesus is talking about. And of course, we look forward to heavenly reward when all things are going to be made new. But he says that all things become new. Old things pass away and all things become new in this life to a degree. I know we have problems in earth life and issues. Well, you could talk about many other rewards, but I just want to close with a few questions. As I think of hypocrisy, these are questions that I ask myself. Have we ever failed to obey God because we feared rejection by people? I want you to think about that. Have you ever paused to obey God because you're worried about what other people are going to think? Or what fear of rejection? Have you called that peer pressure? You got to ask yourself that question. Give that answer. Give an answer to that question. Number two, do we often do service for God without telling people? Or do we think we need to tell people what we're doing or what we're giving? Have we got to tell everybody like what we're doing and what we're giving? Or can we just serve and just do good deeds and serve the Lord? Forget what we're doing. Don't keep track of it. And question three, is our private life consistent with our public life? I think that's the key question. Do you live different privately? Like, do you think different? Do you do different things privately than what you do publicly? Now, of course, there's things that we live at home that are different than publicly, but I'm talking about the things of character, things of moral nature. So let's think about those questions. And, you know, in Jesus' day, they had what they call play actors. And like I said earlier, that I think, you know, we know that the play actors are in Hollywood. They get paid a lot of money. They get Academy rewards. All those people, that by the time they're my age, are really devastated, actually not enjoying life very well. They have a lot of money, but things are not going well for them. Well, I want to tell you, being a Christian at my age, I'm enjoying it. Because there's a connection with our Heavenly Father. So we cannot be play actors and have the rewards, a heavenly reward. So God bless you. Let's pray together.